Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
There are a lot of things that are different about this week's show, Stock Nerds and Market Lovers. Welcome to my mom's basement, where I am being interrogated. we can discuss that. Today was incredibly painful. I feel awful for the fellas. I made them sit. It's my fault. I didn't prepare technologically for today's show. So they've been sitting for 45 minutes in the pits. There's been a rain delay in the F1 race, and they've been sitting there waiting patiently, and I feel awful about it. My energy is kind of zapped. I've been drinking coffee. I've been drinking water. In the meantime, trying to keep my energy up for today's show. And then Don shows me this homemade contraption that he's made for his newfound favorite energy drink. And can you, Don, can show the whole contraption. I think it's a Yeti cup. It's a turducken.
Well, it starts with a Celsius can.
Right.
And then you just put any old half koozie in it, and then you put the
half koozie inside the Yeti cooler. Half koozie looks like it looks like someone who like you're going to make shorts out of cut off jeans. Half koozie,
well,
or you rip the shoulders off your shirt.
It's a beach, man. It's the beach. It's
the
beach.
Beat up after a while.
What's
cut offs and koozies?
That's just a normal Yeti cup.
It's the Yeti. Colster, they call them.
Colster. Yeah, okay. I have that.
The Yeti Colster.
So Don flashes that on the screen, and then it made me wonder, like, I wanted to talk about ticks and the tick fade trade. Stock Nerds Market Lovers is a big show. I've got a tick fade trade to show you. I want to talk about don't get left holding the bag, and I believe you're going to be left holding the bag here in the coming days and weeks. We'll talk about that in a second. Stocks to avoid. It's the first time I can see the.
Well, if you're going to talk about that, then Timmy Bear's got to make an appearance, and you get to see him.
It's not bearish. It's not bearish. It's a heads up. It's different than. It's the first
only
time
a bear
the
talks
joke.
About bear. Only a bear talks about. We're going lower when we're at all highs.
I didn't say we're going lower. I didn't say we're going lower.
Roll that back, Zach. Roll that back, Zach, because it was enough to make
I
me.
I said you're
going to
be left holding the bag. In a
he doesn't come out.
I'm concerned
every
that you
time.
Keep. I'm concerned that you keep a bear of my liking somewhere near your waist that you just pull
concerned.
Out. Every.
Don't be concerned.
It's then
normal behavior.
Thank you, Alex, for laughing at that joke. Much appreciated. And then let's look at MNST. So I wasn't going to look at Monster until I think Monster. Can someone do the quick research if you don't remember? Monster, I believe, was the biggest gaining stock of like the last decade, maybe the last 15, 16 years. Can someone verify? It's a tremendous
Hanson Natural.
You can see.
Used to be Hanson Natural.
Yeah, Hanson Natural, right. And I'm on a monthly chart. So you're going back to 02 when. They must have split adjusted. You're in the less than a dollar range, and now you're trading around $90. So that's it's a pretty good return on your money right there, right? And I asked the fellas because do all of you drink CELH, which is Celsius?
I just grabbed one. I'm putting it in my Yeti cup like Don.
See, it's going to rattle around if you don't get the intermediate.
I need to get. I don't have the koozie. Okay. I don't have a koozie.
Look at that. See what's going to happen? You're going to go to lift it up, and it's going to fall out the bottom of the chair.
Did you just do lift it up?
Things are just going to go to hell.
Did you just do lift it up you were going to the gun show? Like you did lift it up like this. I feel like I saw that. Like you did lift it. Yeah, I saw. I thought that's what Don just did. I looked at like you're gonna lift it up, and what is in CELH that makes it better than MNST? Why is it a phenomenon? You can see the monthly chart of this stock here. Why is it such a phenomenon? Can someone give that to me?
Yeah,
I can. So remember in Ron Burgundy when the Sex Panther cologne had real bits of panther, so you know it's good. And 60% of the time it works every time. That's what Celsius is. It has real bits of cells in it. And they flavor the cells and it will and load it up with caffeine so everybody smiles when you're drinking a Celsius.
I was looking for something different because if it's this period, it's not generation, but if it's this period's monster, you're gonna want to own it. Like why is it such a cult phenomenon? Is it a cult phenomenon?
Because it says promotes weight loss on it, and the other ones don't.
They have some. Yeah. Let me give you some actual research here.
I'd appreciate that.
Alex, they have some.
They have some peer-reviewed literature that says that it helps with performance. They actually backed it up. They claim to be more all natural, no artificial flavors, etc.
Essential energy see on that, accelerates metabolism, yeah. Burns body
burns
fat. That's all you need.
You see those hashtags next to it? So companies are allowed to make health claims without it actually being reviewed by the FDA. That's it's called a health claim. And but the thing is with them, they put – if you go to like a Monster energy drink, there's a lot of other chemicals in this. This has a lot – it's a lot more refined and basic. And the big thing for me is it tastes so much better than the other products out there. So that's enough for me.
And if you look on the back of it, it says gluten-free, kosher, non-GMO, no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, no preservatives, no artificial colors or flavors. And it still tastes good.
I would think that it's the burns body fat because that's who we are in America, right? Like we're looking to drink a drink to burn body fat. Like we're looking to drink a drink. Oh, I can drink and get thin, that's who we are in America, right?
Yes. Also certified vegan.
I think they're just throwing a broad net and they're getting all these different groups.
I did not work for Celsius.
But look at CMG. You can look at the chart. CMG and come with the same... Celsius. I will in a second, but the same approach. Like Chipotle, a lot of people can't believe that Chipotle is a $1,500 stock and it's had this, just monster move. But it's that whole, whether you believe it or not or buy into it or not, that it's healthier, not Danny, help me out here. Calorically. That's what I wanted to say. Calorically.
Caloric.
Not calorically.
I don't think so. Don?
Calorically. Can we go?
Oh, we stumped.
People know what you're calorically. We'll have to go to the judges.
Calorically. Like, I don't think Chipotle's not a
judge diet. Says it's okay.
No. Well, calorically. It's okay. That must be it then.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it, Chipotle, I mean, people get fat on Chipotle, but it's supposedly without the preservatives. They've got a clean menu. And just look at the chart. And then you're saying that this CELH. Is of
yeah, you don't get you don't milk. Get fat on with a Chipotle if you wash it down with a Celsius. They offset each other.
Oh, is that the counter? Is that the dream meal?
Yep, DMG.
That's the key.
The dream meal.
The American dream.
That is wow. Wait till they start. Wait till they do the integration. Right, they get Celsius on the fountain at Chipotle.
Yep. Oh, they can infuse the rice with it. Soak the rice in.
Right. No, they've got the cauliflower rice, Danny, at Chipotle. They can't keep it in stock, by the way. The Chipotle's by my house keep running out of it. And so they,
why?
They, it's
people
it's like
demand one of the, or they can't get cauliflower.
I just assumed, and assumes a dangerous word. Great question, Alex. I just assumed it was demand, but you know, with today's shortages of everything.
But it's also got that keto slant. I think it's because people are doing it because it's a quote healthier way to eat.
Yep, you'll pay a premium.
Big burritos.
You'll pay a premium for it. All right, so let me show you this. We'll do something for the traders that watch the show, and then we'll do something more for the investors that go a little bit slower that watch the show. So the tick fade trade. So let me show you the ticks. So the ticks are, it's the buying and selling that comes right off the New York Stock Exchange. And so I've got this on a 5-minute chart. You can put it on a minute chart. Up to you how you do it. I measure it like this, 1,000, the downside, 1,000 to the upside. Anything at plus 800, minus 800, that's real buying or selling. Like think institutional type people just either buying or selling. When you start getting these big, massive ticks, and let me show you, like this one isn't that big. The recent low here, to give you an example, this week was only 942. Like, think about this. We haven't had a minus, it's 4 days into the trading week. We haven't had any selling. Like, it's only been minus 942. If you go back for the year, right, just put it on a daily chart, you'll see that the low tick of the year back in June, on June 10th, excuse me, that's last year. Let's go 510. 510 was minus 1,700. Real selling. Look at what the market was doing on those particular days, minus 1,670 there. And you can see in earlier this, oh, we're in July 1st here. So earlier, about 2 weeks ago, it was minus 1,200 was the low. But if you're looking to not get caught, so people will smuggingly, Danny, just give me a yes or no on that. I don't think that's a word, though. Smuggingly.
Smuggly.
The way to say that? Yeah. Smuggly. So really, like, you're smuggly?
I think that's one of the Muppets.
Oh, I don't. Yes. That Hank's right next to it's Beaker and Bunsen. Smugly. People will smugly say, well, the first hour of trade is amateur hour. And there's got to be, instead of just platitudes, there's got to be a way to look at that factually. And I look at it through the ticks. And so the ticks here reached up here to plus 1,200. Like, it was all this pent up buying coming into the market. The moment it opened, there was so much overnight order flow, meaning people are at home, they're putting in their orders, and plus it's the first of the month, and there's a ton of institutional type money that comes to work the first several days of the month. And so you have all this buying, but you want to be careful about trying to buy those first ticks, because typically when you come up this high, stock nerds, market lovers, on the tick reading right at the open, it's you've kind of shot. Danny, what's a different way to say, I'll say it this way. I just thought of it. You've kind of shot all your bullets. Mm-hmm. So you have no more bullets left in the chamber, and you've kind of got a reset. And so we'll leave it on the same 5-minute chart, and we'll just put in here like the NQ. And you can see here, let's get Thursday, excuse me, as I zoom in here. So here is Thursday at 8 o'clock. Here's just about 8:30. You reach up. So you reach up right here towards the open, you're matching the ticks, and then you can see the fade. And so you can do that with all the indices, but it, you don't have to play it. You just have to know it. And so what happens is a lot of individual investors and a lot of individual traders will get caught up in that, meaning they'll want to participate in that initial move. And if that initial move is explosive to the upside or the downside, you can get a fade in either direction. And today was kind of one of those classic moments that did that. I saw it and I thought, and I've been doing that for years. Sometimes I fade it. Sometimes I, if I'm paying attention, sometimes I don't when I see it like that. But just the thought going into it. So let's do this. Danny, I don't have a good transition. For the next segment. So can you give me something?
Yeah, let's go to the next segment. Who are we talking to? Don really? Or Alex or Tim?
That was lovely, Dan. Nobody ever could have come up with a better transition than that. Perfect. And you definitely went to the right guy.
I just go straight to it, man. Just get right
that was legendary.
I've got, well, Dan, that'll take me to this. So I think what to watch here these first couple of days is growth. And what I was going to allude to, and then we'll get to Don, because I believe Don will have some interesting things to say about this. So let's look at the dollar real quick, Stockner. So we'll look at DXY. So the dollar is taken out. We're on a daily chart now. So what I find fascinating about the dollar, it used to be that if the dollar was creeping up here to this ATR, you know, the dollar was going up, growth was having some trouble. And that's not the case, because the dollar, now the dollar struggled, growth struggled mid-month at quarterly or options expiration and what could be deemed as rebalancing. But look at here, the dollar hits the third ATR, pulls back. Growth has been doing just fine. And I don't see growth as being really in trouble here as the dollar takes out that 618 high that it made just very recently. And it used to be that if you saw this dollar creeping higher, that would be bad or negative for the growth stocks. But what I do think is very interesting is the NQ here, where it's at. And it might not have anything to do with the dollar. The market will look for the reason why, meaning the media will look for when price does X, what's happening in the news, and can we tie them together and give you a reason. But I think it's just normal ebbs and flows. And so when you see on these ATR charts that I've been using for ever and a day, when you get, here's back in August of 2020, which was just a magical month. When you see you're getting closer to that third ATR, every day you spend up near it or above it, you're that much closer to having some kind of pullback. And it's not I don't have a better phrase than say Don pulling out the bear. It's just natural ebbs and flows. Don pulling out the bear could be interpreted as many different things. We'll just note that as a phrase.
That really could.
Yeah. It doesn't mean Don pulling out the bear.
Throw a few other prepositions in there, and that, it just could really send this off.
So you get this plus two ATR and this plus three ATR. Every day you spend at, plus two ATR and above three ATR, it just increases your chances of a pullback, say, to the mean, which is that dotted blue line where I keep writing the letter M on it. And so right now, you are at 3 ATR on the NQs. And so I don't know if there's a, and Don probably has a number, where it's X percentage above the 21, because I find it to be inconsistent. But, and I only measure from the 21, and I think Don measures from the 50-day. If you're looking to say the market is stretched, you need some kind of factual way to say that. So whether you say it's a percentage above the 50-day, and that typically triggers some kind of momentary pause, or as I do, the third ATR, right now, if you're a growth investor, what you want to see is this market just kind of pause, let these ATRs, let the moving averages catch up, and then assert themselves in a little bit. The dollar, though, is interesting here because the dollar has been asserting itself and it's had no effect on growth. And so what you don't want to be, or what I don't want to be, is an apologist for any theory or a stock apologist. Like, this stock should be going higher, but it's not, and it's because people underappreciate. That's a stock apologist. You don't want to be a market apologist. What you want to note is abnormalities. And right now, it is abnormal, and it's been abnormal. It's not been the case that the dollar has asserted itself and growth has just been clickety-clack down the tracks. But that is exactly what's happened, and you want to acknowledge that. And then in the same breath, look at the dollar here. The dollar is at the third ATR. So if I bring to you every week that when you get to that second and third ATR, you're looking for a pullback. If that's the case, that doesn't change just because I switched it to a chart of the dollar. And so if we're at this third ATR, and I just, have been telling you that the relationship is dollar kind of pulling back, growth is strong, I would think that growth gets even stronger if the dollar pulls back. And so, Don, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Alex or Hunter, if you had any thoughts on that, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, the measuring stick that I use is, if you get 5% above the 50-day moving average on the NASDAQ 100, that's considered a yellow light. If you get 6%, I would consider that a red light. You really do not want to be adding to growth. Slow down.
Can we pause there for a second? I know some people take notes on the show. That's not me being facetious. So you're saying if you get 5% above the 50-day, is that right?
Yeah, on that's kind of like a yellow light, and then 6% is a red light. Okay. And we so right actually now, we reflect that. Yeah, we would reflect that on the trend gauge that we use in the videos at night also.
Okay. So we're and right for at the 5%, S&P
500.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The S&P, yes, on the NASDAQ 100, the S&P 500 is closer to 4% for a yellow light, 5% for a red light.
Yeah, and so those I guess
two,
that's
those
the
are the two that I've tracked. Yeah.
Yeah, and so
and you know that sometimes it's you know you don't have to be bearish to not be bullish. And there's times to let off the gas, and this is honestly one of those times from if you're trafficking in tech stocks. And they really do need to put in a lot of the leaders haven't broken their 80 MA in weeks. They need a little bit of a sideways to down action. We've seen that over the last 3 days in the leaders. For example, pull up CrowdStrike is a good example. CRWD hasn't broken the 80 MA in weeks. Today, pierced it, closed right about on it. These handles are what we need. The question is the 80 MA going to stop? It will today's low stop, or will it go down to what is the pink line on that screen, the 21, which is another 3.5% down. And that can happen without any technical damage to the stock. It's right at the top of its range. And it frankly, you know, it's gone sideways now for about a week and a half after a big volume move up above 251.28, which was the breakout. And now it's just pulling back to that area. It's entitled to take a rest as it really moved up strongly from the 204 area. And this is what we're looking for in growth stocks over the last couple of days and really in the next couple of days going forward.
And this is what I want to be really helpful to with the people that watch the show. Because, so are you an investor or are you a trader? And in last night's video, I asserted, the Wednesday video, I asserted that, by the way, all the work we ever do at Revere Asset is really found under this tab, Daily Market Insight. So if we've said it, if we have a thought on the market condition, where we're at in time and space, you will find all of our work here in Daily Market Insight. And the easiest way to go back and see how we handled any time frame all the way back to 2014. We started doing videos, I believe, in the spring of 2014. You can go back and see all those market conditions just down here at the bottom left-hand side of your screen. And that's that we don't put out brochures. We don't put out marketing. We don't tell you, Danny. What do those people do when they want to they weren't in a particular strategy or they weren't in a particular market, but they theorize how their strategy would have done, and then they start. They start marketing those type of results. What's that called? It just left my head.
Well, you've got number one, back tested, where they try to back test the strategy, but they're also hypothetical returns.
Yeah, they give you a little asterisk. Yeah, there's another word that you and I have made fun of. People will come to the office or with COVID and stuff, they'll send you their materials. And there was one egregious one, like we returned a gazillion percent. And that kind of gets your attention sometimes. And so Danny clicks on it and he goes, oh my gosh, this is just all back tested in hypotheticals, like what they would have done. They literally just described how they would have picked all the winners. But if you want to see what we're really doing in real time and space, click the Daily Market Insight tab, click the podcast tab, and you can go back and see all the shows. Zach, what is this number? 356?
357?
356. So this is the 356th. Weekly podcast. There are, in addition to the weekly podcast, there are 5 videos a week that come out of the shop. And now with Alex, we have Alex. Alex, what was your bonus video about last night? The bonus video that goes on YouTube and went before they even do anything on any clicking on the YouTube channel for Revere Asset. Alex, what should they do?
A like, share. Well, subscribe first. Then when you get to the video, there's a like button on the bottom. And you could also, set up on your phone like the little bell button. It will notify you when we upload to YouTube.
What is the over under that I can draw a bell? I don't think it's that.
Not good. Like
that's a beautiful top hat.
Yeah.
That's... yeah.
Remember when I tried? What I tried to draw a panther one time, or I drew something.
Oh, and no. A lion or something of the sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked more like a pig or a bear.
I thought you were going to say penis because it looked like a penis. Let's just be honest.
That was when you were trying to draw a car. Fred Flintstone.
Oh, was that a car?
You blew it. Yes. You blew it. That's why we almost decided to take your drawing tool away.
Yeah. Interesting choice of words there, Danny. So when we're looking.
Hey, Tim, alluding to your point, though.
We got to get a mute button and take his drawing tool away.
You know what's the best part about this show, Danny? This is the 4th of July show. It's the Big Bang show, right?
There you go. There you go.
I've got my patriotic shirt on. Wow, you can really see the...
So, can you guys see? I thought he was getting tortured in North Korea with that light in there. I thought he was getting tortured in North Korea.
Yeah, Tim's got it. It's fine.
There I got it. We're fine.
Our screen capture software is doing some wacky things over there, but it works. It's good. Fun.
It works. We're fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, look, when we're here at the third HR with crowd, look, this is a great example of it's not what Don was saying. Look, it hit the third HR. That's 257, and the stock's trading 251. Clearly, not the end of the world. A move to the 21 or the mean of the stock here is 239. But what I was alluding to earlier is I haven't met the investor that if you gave them a choice, I haven't, oh boy, I don't know what I'm doing that I'm doing that, but I won't do it anymore, fellas. I haven't met, I don't know what I'm touching that's causing that, but I won't do it anymore. I haven't met the trader that says, hey, would you like a 10% gain, 20% gain, or would you like that 4% gain to flat? And then reload. And everyone always, and I'm not being facetious, I spoke to a ton of people for a number of years at IBD. And everybody, of course, wants the gains. And so this is a way to just help you trail up stops when you're using, whether you're using Don's metric of X amount of percent over the 21. Hey, I want to get my 3-bar trailing stop in place. Whatever it is that you use to proactively harvest some gains. And there's like a gazillion ways to do this, right? Okay, we got to the second, third HR. Maybe I'll sell 75% and I'll let the other 25% run. Because you don't know how it's going to behave. What if it went up to just keep going, right? And then you're trailing to stop. And so there's a number of things that you can do at home that I think are really proactive to help you. And I think this is the perfect market to actually take some time to practice that. Because Don identified it. The NASDAQ here is a little bit stretched. And so what I don't think is going to happen, I'd be surprised if the market just sold off here. I mean, based on how the markets behaved the last 2 weeks of June, I'd be really surprised if the market sold off. But what you don't want to be is a bag holder. Get the bear ready, Don. And so...
Bear's always
so ready. What I... It's where you're keeping the bear that's concerning. So
he's smarter than the average bear.
So what you're seeing here, like I did this last night, but I think it bears repeating because there'll be a group of stocks that are talked about tremendously. And then this month, I don't know what they're going to be, but they're going to be sold to you on TV or whatever media sources you go to as the stocks to be in. And I just want to show you the travel stocks because I traveled up here to Pennsylvania. I'm in Pennsylvania right now. And I was telling Danny and Don, the airport was overwhelmed. Where we left at was absolutely positively overwhelmed. They could not handle the volume of traffic. Flights are getting canceled because they can't find workers. Danny, I don't know if you saw in Dallas, American Airlines has asked their corporate staff to come into DFW to
help
work.
Out.
Yeah, that's no joke. I flew Southwest. Dallas Love Field at 4:30 in the morning was overrun. They just didn't have enough people to work. And so it's interesting. Like, that is a tremendous demand capture. Like, oh my gosh, all these people want to travel. You've seen the orders come in from American Airlines, Southwest and United Airlines and a Boeing and Airbus. We need more planes. We're forecasting more demand. But look at what's been happening with this American Airlines stock. This isn't a leading stock right here. And then if you look at UAL, this isn't a leading stock. Let's look at Love. Southwest. This isn't a leading stock. Give me a Ryanair, R-Y-A-Y. That's not a leading stock. Save is not a leading stock. Hey, what's Allegiant? Is Allegiant just A? Allegiant. No, it's not. What's the one out of Las Vegas? The one. Thank you. Oh, that's not a leading stock. And so, but you don't hear anything right now. But it's time to get these stocks because travel is hot, travel is hot, travel is hot. And it's almost as if that the people that are telling you this, they've got the merchandise to sell you. They already wrote it up and they're trying to give it to you because you'll be the bag holder. You'll be the one left holding the bag. There's already a group of traders, I believe, because a couple have written to me, left holding the bag. I believe automobiles are at that point right now. But hear me out before I show you the charts. So, and I do want to get your opinion on this, fellas, because I don't know. I don't know how this plays out. And I know a couple people that work for Ford up in Detroit that listen to the show. So maybe they can chime in here if they want to write. If you want to get a hold of anyone, by the way, Stock Nerds, Market Lovers, just contact us right here. Here's all of our information. Tim Irvierus at Don, Alex, Hunter, America's Fiduciary, Danny. The easiest thing to do is call 855-732-5932. So the car lots have cars stacked in them right now because of the chip shortage. I have that correct, Don?
Yes.
Okay.
Confidence.
Well, no, no, no. I mean, maybe it cleared out. I'm not being facetious here.
Yeah,
at all.
I don't know.
Okay. So if they're stacked up with 2021s, when do they introduce the 2022s? Is there going to be a car glut? Like we have none right now. By the way, renting a car was really painful. Like, there's no cars to be rented. We flew into Baltimore to get up here. And for Hertz, if you had a Hertz reservation, which we didn't, we had Avis. If you had a Hertz reservation, it was a two-hour wait for a car, even with your reservation. Oh. For Avis, we got one of the last minivans on the whole lot because they didn't have any. So when you're looking at, let's look at Ford. So Ford right now is at the 21 exponential moving average, right? So it's found support here multiple times. But is Ford about to do, are the car stocks about to do what the travel stocks did? And meaning that they're hyped up, there's shortages, car prices are at all-time highs, and are the manufacturers about to pull what the airlines did? Which you could say, well, Tim, that's an overall transport issue, Tim. That's the ETFification of the markets. You can go IYT, and you can say, well, Tim, IYT's not having that great of a time, even though it's really not that far off of old highs. But are there going to be a bunch of bag holders in a General Motors, in a Ford? What's Tesla doing today? TSLA? In a Tesla. In a, what's Volkswagen? VWAGY in Volkswagen. Toyota's TM. Are there about to be a bunch of bag holders in the automobiles? And I wonder, and this is all theory, right? This ain't going to help anybody. I wonder if it's all because of the upcoming glut. What are they going to do with all those cars, Danny, that are stacked up waiting for chips? Are they not going to make 2022s? Are they just going to delay the model years and call 2021s 2022s?
Just change the placard. No, beef is not. They'll just change the placard. What?
Can you do that? I don't. There's some legality with just changing the sticker in a car. I know that. So, like, but it makes me wonder, like, what are they going to. Is this, are these charts about to, because the market's a forward-looking vehicle by 6 to 8 months. And so what are these particular charts, are they just pausing and refreshing? Or are they telling you, like, there's a, you know how, Danny, what's the best way, or Don, what's the best way to phrase a Yogi Bearism? Like, not Yogi, got me thinking Yogi Bear, Yogi Berra from the Yankees. he used to say something that was a little bit backwards, like, go ahead.
He said a lot of things backwards. Nobody goes anymore there anymore. It's too crowded is my favorite.
That's the perfect one. So
when you come to a fork in the road, hear, take it.
The one about the crowded, I think, works the best here. Because if you hear all these travel, these horror travel stories, does it prevent you from going?
No.
I don't think so.
I'm going to travel.
I flew with my family. Yeah, no.
Everyone's been cooped up for a year, you know?
Everybody I know is traveling. And yet, why do these prices reflect this? And I think, though, is it like Don would just say almost curmudgeonly to somebody who might ask him, just follow the charts. It'll tell you where the leadership is. And you got to wonder if what's EXPE is Expedia?
Yeah, it looks similar to the other travel stocks.
What is Booking? BKNG?
BKNG, yeah.
Is Trivago one? TVGO? No, that's not it. What's Trivago?
Trip is another one. TRIP.
Yeah. Yeah, like where are these? Or if you look at the Dow, right? Look at the Dow. Right? So here's YMs that are showing some strength here. They're not leading. They're not leading like the NASDAQ and the S&Ps. Here are the small caps, the Russell. Are those types of stocks just taking a pause and you're about to go through another great rotation? And what I mean there is the market doesn't sell off. It just rotates violently. And so everyone got left holding the bag with those travel stocks, right? And then you've got the car stocks not showing too much strength right now. But look at what Caterpillar did. Like, that's a daily chart of Cat. Give me Deer. Give me another industrial, Hunter. Throw anyone at me.
EA, Boeing.
Hunter, I mean, Alex, give me any kind of industrial.
DuPont.
Thank you. Look at these. These were the leaders of 2021. And then ever since June, you know, there's June, right? They're like, oh, they're great. They're great. They're great. They're great. They're not. And it's just a violent rotation in and out of the markets. And I think this is the quintessential moment for the average true range charts. Because we'll just leave DDD up here. I haven't looked at DDD in, I don't care to tell you the last time I've ever looked at this stock. Hit the third ATR in January, sniffed it in May, and then look at that pullback. We looked at Boeing. Hunter mentioned Boeing. I mean, you get some really huge plane orders, and why can't Boeing get out of its own way? So I find all of this interesting, and the markets are great, right? Like the Dow up almost 13% so far this year, SPX up 14.5%. The NASDAQ comp, not the NDX, which is NASDAQ 100, the NASDAQ comp is up, what, 12.5% this year? I can't be right. Oh, of course that's not right. No, it is. I typed in the wrong ticker symbol for the indices. I am not sure why the comp didn't come. It used to just be comp. Did it change, Alex, in Thinkorswim? And I'm not keeping up.
So, because I usually just use NQ to follow.
I just use NQ and NDX. I don't look at the whole comp. And you used to be able to just type in comp and get the NASDAQ 100. We'll solve that.
I haven't looked at the comp, actually, in a long time.
Yeah, so I wonder if you're just about to experience a violent rotation. And look at Amazon. Third ATR, like third ATR, zoom. Third ATR, zoom. And are you about to experience, I don't even know if it's a rotation. It's just, that's a real choppy chart, man. I don't know if it's a rotation so much or if it's good.
Can I make a point? Can I make a point?
Please.
So the indexes have been isolated, especially the NASDAQ, because you have names like Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Google, all the heavyweights haven't really had a pullback. Meanwhile, you're having those rotations outside of that. Imagine those are in the middle, and outside of it, you have industry type names, and then you have growth stocks, and they're going like this. While in the middle, those big mega cap tech stocks are just tracking higher. So if you're an indexer, you avoid it, that volatility. Meanwhile, people that are growth traders are bobbing and weaving in and out of time.
As an indexer, this is absolutely your year, your time to shine. 100% agree with that. With that, Hunter, you want to do a little research? I got a couple more things, but what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, well, let me just make one comment in relation to what we were just talking about. So from about February into the middle of May, before growth stocks started to turn around, there was a handful of times where the value stocks or the industrial type stocks paused or briefly pulled back, and it looked like growth was starting to come back a little bit. And ultimately, a lot of those occurrences, they either reversed into previous levels of resistance or previous highs or declining moving averages. And you're starting to see that to some degree in the value plays. So like you can pull up DD, it's going back to the mean, or FCX has reversed into the 21 EMA twice in the last week. So It almost, in my opinion, feels a little bit like the literal inverse of what we experienced throughout February to mid-May, where the growth stocks are in leadership. Obviously, the NASDAQ is leading. You get some periods of pullback, which is very normal. And the other areas that haven't been working recently start to try and make a comeback. And ultimately, a lot of those failed. It's yet to be seen what's going to happen this time around. But in my opinion, there are some indicators that there's, number one, there's a lack of volume on a lot of those former leaders. And number two, they're having trouble getting through moving averages or previous areas that they were able to get through. So just something that I've noticed. I think I mentioned that in a video. And like I said, we'll see how that ends up playing out. But a lot of those areas still light volume, struggling to maintain strength throughout the day, that kind of stuff. So that's my only comment there. In regards to what I have today, it's pretty simple. And I'm going to talk about these in the video tonight, which will probably be out before the podcast, I would imagine. So just to focus on leadership, and really what that means is identifying what holds up the best when stocks are having a tough time. And so growth stocks experience some volatility today. So Tim, if you could pull up Crowd for me, CRWD, that would be great. And I think it finished the day down 20 basis points, maybe less than that, 0.06. And you just want to take note of especially names that are at or very close to all-time highs that are holding up better than the majority of stocks in their style. So for Crowd, that means, you know, growth, or you can compare it to their peers in their industry group. But you want to identify those that are either green on a red day or just down a tiny bit, and that are acting well while maybe other, like for example, Roku is down 5% today. Doesn't mean anything's necessarily wrong with Roku, but you just want to note the strength in leaders, especially ones that are at all-time highs and holding up well. So I just want to point out CrowdStrike, DocuSign, D-O-C-U, also holding up nicely today. And Shopify holding up nicely as it's about 2 or 3% from all time highs as well. It's putting in a little handle. But those were some of the standouts in growth world that were either just slightly down, came back throughout the day. Shopify actually went green with about 10 or 15 minutes to the close and ended up finishing slightly red. But just want to highlight that, because oftentimes those that hold up the best in a strong market, especially for growth, end up being the leaders when things start to get going again. On the flip side of the equation, Tim, if you'll pull up TAN for me. TAN's had a bit of a rough pullback the last 2 days, not really anything crazy by any means. You can see it was down 1% today. But basically all you've got the last 2 days is a pullback to the 200 day, which it pushed through on the 28th. And here we are just coming back and testing that 200 again. So in a sector that was very extended, possibly starting to come back to earth, as you mentioned and Don mentioned, some pullbacks as some of these things get extended, completely normal. And then Don is probably going to talk about this one more. So I just want to pull up the chart. Will you pull up MSOS, Tim? And I'm covering these two because I've been talking about solar and weed for the last couple of shows. MSOS getting its first close above the 50 in quite some time. I would be looking to see that hold tomorrow, or either more strength tomorrow in a sector that's been beaten up and hadn't really been able to get any legitimate momentum going.
I don't think it's age specific, but I think screens are screens, right? Stocks turn up on screens, but I feel as though this is this in particular example, as it comes up in my head, is a little too stereotypical, and I don't mean to be so heavy-handed, but I think that you and Alex are able to talk about stocks that maybe some of our older traders or investors might not be aware of. MSOS is one of those areas, I think, like DraftKings, I think what you bring to Penn. I think that discussion around younger stocks like a Celsius, that's why I did that at the beginning of the show. One, Don had that koozie, that koozie thing going on there. But it's interesting because I don't know if maybe some of our seasoned listeners, or maybe they're not paying attention. They're just not in with the zeitgeist. Like when you look at a CEL, it's like, what makes that so special? It's just a drink, right? And being able to talk about, maybe Don would call that the new. And someone cynical certainly, out there might say, isn't that just Monster repackaged as a different product with some different verbiage on it? But when you understand the move, the Monster move that Monster had, you know, just for so many years, then it becomes interesting to you, right? And you might, when you go to Costco, pay attention, because when I go to Costco, they're selling a ton of cases of this. I don't drink it. Doesn't mean they don't sell a ton of cases of this. Hey, what's the they kind of got an offbeat founder. Gosh darn it, Danny, I drink their LaCroix. What's LaCroix's ticker? It's Fizz, right? FIZZ. Like, look at that chart of Fizz. I mean, you've got that big spike up to 100 there, but, and I believe this is also, okay, I don't know how it goes negative
that
there.
That spike up reflects what people think it tastes like, and then where it is now is what it is.
Right. And so Don makes the point that I'm going after. I'll tell you what, Don, it's easy to get you to where I need you to go, and I appreciate your flexibility. You might not like it, but you'd like gains from a dollar, you know, to trading 45 right now, or maybe, you know, maybe you cash out higher, but you might not drink CELH and you might not drink MNST, you know, but you'd like the gains. You can drink those gains and whatever it is that you do drink. Like, what's the ticker? So, like, what's Bud? Bud, B-U-D. Look at Bud. Do you want Bud, or would you rather have that CELH? Now, I think Sam Adams is a different story. Why would Sam Adams be a different story? It's they have one of the highest selling volumes of what's their Caitlin? Hunter, Alex, do you guys know what their competitor to White Claw is? It's a seltzer.
I think they're Truly.
Truly.
Truly. I think. Yep, it's Truly. I'm pretty sure it is. And so Sam Adams has the trend. And you might not drink, you know, you might not even know Sam Adams made it, but you might not be interested in that at all. But they're capturing the zeitgeist of what's happening in the market space right now. And it's this is exactly why I started out the show like this. It's no different than CMG. It's no different than any other stock that's capturing the hearts and minds of where people want to be. And so people want to eat cleaner. So it doesn't mean it's better for them calorically, Chipotle. Doesn't mean CELH is going to make them any healthier. Quite sure there'll be a study. Like, how many times? Do you guys remember how many times people would come out with a study with what is ever in Monster? And it was usually some short seller that was going to kill people. And yep. Monster's still there. MNST. And so you don't, just because it's not your taste, you know, be it a pot stock, be it one of these gambling type stocks that we talk about, doesn't mean you shouldn't have your ear to the ground. And I think Hunter and Alex, in a long-winded way of saying this, bring a tremendous amount of value to what we're doing here, because I think their perspective is much different than mine, much different than Don's, and nobody has the perspective Danny has. So I appreciate that all very much. Thank you, Zach. That was the nicest way to say Danny's one of a kind when he drives.
Are you saying they're a lot younger than us, Tim? Is that what you're saying? They're a lot younger than us?
Yeah, but youth in this regard, like the saying that youth is, I really look, I look red here. I look Donald Trump orange.
You look like you're getting, you're in a North Korean torture chamber, or you're under a sun lamp.
I'm not making this up. I'm home at my parents' house, and I love my parents dearly. I really do. But my dad had me hook up three different printers, because in case one breaks, He wanted two backups. There's this interrogation light above his little workstation.
It looks here. Better without the light.
Thank you, Danny. I thought the same thing about you for years, but I've been.
No, really. It looks good. It looks really good without the light. It's perfect.
Yeah, no, I like the saying is that youth is.
Yeah, can we just start the podcast over now?
Yeah. Like when they say that youth is wasted on the young, I don't think that to be the case in this regard, because they're not just telling you about some hot stock, right? This isn't like they're not flooding you with Redditism. They're actually giving you thoughtful analysis of something that's trending. And I think it was Alex that brought up CELH. Was it you, Alex, that did that?
Yeah.
Problem is, I can't see my notes now. Anyway, which speaking of Alex, what you got this week, man?
Yeah, so alluding to that point before, we were talking about things being crowded. So something I'm trying to, I can't measure this because it's hard to measure if people are talking about or buying the same stock, because I don't have that technology like Citadel does, but I'm following stocks that are generally not as popular that are hitting new highs or breaking out. And two of them are in the medical device equipment space, PKI and TMO, Thermo Fisher.
Let me get this on these two stocks.
Yeah.
What does PKI do? Names. I've not heard of PKI.
They build spectrometers, same company as TMO, a bunch of devices for laboratory and
the
medical space. Yep. And TMO. Gotcha. So these two stocks are names you may want to add to your watch list. They're extended. Again, just like I said in the YouTube video last night, if there's a name that you miss, wait for a pullback, because no stock goes up straight, and you'll get an opportunity to get in and buy some. So yeah, there's the bonus stock video from last night. Yeah. Actually, the bonus stock, I'll give it away right now. It was Celsius, and it's funny because I talked about in the video. Wait for that pullback today. It pulled back. Is it enough? I don't know. Use that pivot that I talked about in the video. If you want to know the pivot, watch the video, and you'll find out what that pivot was.
So, let's give a kudos here you got it, buddy. Let's give a kudos to Zach. So we're going to get better. So as we build out our new website and we build out our YouTube channel, Danny's doing this, and it's thank you for doing it. But we're going to get different placards for all the different videos that we post here. These placards for the podcast are all our wonderful producer, Zach.
Thanks.
He captures the moment, and he really does a great job with it. And huge, huge thank you to him for doing that. So Alex has the video. Excuse me, Hunter has the video tonight. And so I promised I wouldn't do that.
I was laughing because he was talking about those custom placards, and I was thinking of a placard of Tim underneath that hot lamp.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm afraid. Like we don't choose it. So here's how that works. Zach does it. He doesn't ask for any input. We don't give him any input. Like, I think people work best with free reign, meaning you don't, hey, what are you looking for? And then just let them create. Creatives create. I believe in letting creatives create. And so
it's very patriotic into the 4th of July. I like that.
Well, that's the look. That's why people, that's like when we produced your segment for the YouTube video last week on the show, like just
on the fly.
Like,
that's true.
Do it. Like, produce some content. And then, well, that's the whole way. Like, if you just keep producing content that's helpful to people, people roll right into you, and the content gets sharper and sharper and sharper. And then you know you're helping people. Like, there's a gazillion people in this world that say they want to change the world, they want to help people. But I can tell you that the way to do it is absolutely make a difference in one person's life. And there's content that you created last night with this Alex the Greek bonus video. You didn't call yourself Alex the Greek. That was Danny, wasn't it? That sounds like a Dannyism.
I'm using it now as the intro to the tagline.
He likes it.
It likes, fair enough. So, but you're going to help somebody with that. And they're going to, and the moment you help somebody with that, it changes everything and your content gets better. And you let creatives create. So speaking of creatives creating, we're going to go here to Daily Market Insight. Hunter has the video tonight. Don, on Friday, July 2nd, has the 21 over 21, the Dirty 30. Can you give me a preview of that? Is it too early, Don?
There actually could, again, for the second week in a row, be no changes to the 21 over 21, which means everything last Friday that was above the 21 is still above it this Friday. And I think that talks to the strength in the market. Actually, Novocure is the only one, NVCR. They got hit on a bad phase two today. So that one would be coming off of it. But stocks are strong. They're the inflection point that we had with the Fed that prompted the very harsh two-day sell-off in industrials, financials, and basic material stocks. Those appear to have been bottomed, and some of them are starting to come up the right side of what would be a base. Stocks have to base. Nothing goes straight up. Stocks have to base in order to shake out weak holders, bring in strong holders, and separate the wheat from the chaff. I mean, how many sayings could I apply to that? I think I just threw quite a few out there, but things are.
What
gonna,
is the chaff
rotate.
Of the wheat? Is the is wheat, the chaff the stalk? Hunter,
the
Alex,
chaff is
Hunter,
the stuff you get, don't.
I,
want.
I got no clue.
I think Dan would know. Dad, you have the
Danny,
answer.
What
Dan's
is
a, close he's to out in Texas.
You want the wheat, the part you eat, the flour. You want the main part of the thing. The chaff is the stuff you throw away. It's no good.
Like the bad part of
so
the
chaff and there's chaff that you throw out from there's explosive incendiary devices inside of these pods on the side of a helicopter or jets have them too, where they disperse what's called known as chaff. And that chaff is made up of different materials to scatter radar signals. Different types of chaff out there, buddy. Absolutely. Huh. Don, I'm sorry I distracted you with chaff.
I'm guessing
nonsense.
That part
what
of it is useless, right? That part of it is useless just referred to, too? So,
yep.
There we go.
All right.
Now that everybody knows what chaff is.
Yeah. So you're saying that how hard is it to do a video when nothing changes?
Not hard at all, because there's always lessons to be learned. In this case, the takeaway is what was strong is staying strong, and that eases our life somehow. It's when you get this vicious rotation and you get half of the stocks coming off of the list and a new set coming on, and then the challenge is not to get them when they're too extended. But we always make sure we've got at least 10 to 14 sectors in there, and usually 18 to 21 industry groups. That's how you get your diversification, is by dividing things up across there. You don't necessarily have to have gold and real estate and foreign bonds.
Got it.
But identify the market, get the leading sectors, get the leading stocks within those sectors, and stick with them as long as they're acting well is really an oversimplification of it, but that's what it comes down to. There's a lot of art that goes into it.
All right, Daniel, will you do me a favor? Give us the normal outro, and then I've got two one last things.
All right, folks, if you like what you heard, please tell a friend, tell a neighbor, just send them to revereasset.com. They can sign up for our daily market insight. We won't spam them. We won't hound them in any way. It's up for them to reach out to us if they want have any questions or comments or simply want a portfolio review. You can email any of us at dan@revereasset.com, don@revereasset, Tim, Hunter, or alex@revereasset.com. You can also check us out on our YouTube channel, just Revere Asset. You can find out all of our work. You can always call us old school at 855-REAL-WEALTH.
All right, Danny, keep your ears on, because I'm going to bring you into the fold here for something that I think is interesting, and we'll see how it plays out in the second half of this year. So real quick, IPO Club. It's interesting. There's an IPO Club among stock nerds and market lovers. Look, we're a community here. So the whole business at Revere was built around cultivating a community of like-minded individuals who wanted to succeed on fact-based information and transparency, and our whole model is giving away what our research to help you become a better individual investor. And knowing that you would eventually send your loved ones and the people that you cared most about in your world to us. And by the way, it's a long weekend coming up, so markets are closed Monday, July 5th. The easiest, and Danny answers the phones here. Like, that's no. Some people go, well, don't you have a secretary to do that? And that's so. By the way, that's so 1960s. We answer our own phones because you're talking to the strategist. Like, you call, go ahead and call TIA Cref. Go ahead and call Fidelity this weekend. Call Schwab and ask them to talk about whatever they have you in. Okay, call your person. And what you get is plausible deniability, right? Because they have you in a bunch of mutual funds, you're in a 60-40 portfolio. Don, can you go over in your video Friday maybe the dangers or the burdens of a 60-40 portfolio? I think that'd be interesting on Friday if you can fit it in.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot. Really, just take a look back to a 34% loss in the S&P in 5 weeks in COVID and how bonds have underperformed. You know, why be in an asset class that's going to drag you down?
Mm-hmm. Well, and Don just gave you that answer. But when you call your person or your family member calls their person and they can't, you know, talk to anybody, when you call us on Saturday or Monday, July 5th, when the markets are closed, or Sunday, 855-732-5932, you're going to get this guy right here. And you want to talk shop, whether you're a client or not. We're going to help you answer your questions and we're going to get you on your way. We're not going to spam. You're not some vicious sales loop. It's a real big differentiator in what we do. Here. And so I was talking IPO Club for a second. There's a couple stock in this market that was just run with the research, and it's really cool to see. And they're finding success. And I was talking with them this week. And one of them, Mark from Buffalo, Captain Dan, and a couple others have joined the group. And one of, and I believe it was Mark from Buffalo, said, you know, there's other stocks to trade out there, but this IPO list has focused my attention so much that I think he's finding more success in the markets than he's ever found. And that makes my heart warm. Like, people take our work, they take Don's work, they take what Alex and Hunter's talking about, and they find ways to make it work for them. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And look, you want to get introduced to these people, tim@revereasset.com is it'd be my pleasure to do so. But Danny, there's something I want to show you on the, you can see the screens, right, Danny?
Yes.
So this is the TNX. This is a 10-year treasury. 10-year treasury is at one, how you read this chart, it's at 1.48. And so what I find interesting here is you're at support. You're like at long, I don't know about long term, but you're at 2121 support. So TNX comes down sometimes to this third ATR, the zone of the third ATR, and it holds. And it's been holding this end of February area here for a while now. And if the TNX goes higher, Danny, if the 10-year notes go higher, meaning interest rates are going higher, what does that mean for servicing debt, Daniel? And I'm talking about credit card debt in particular. What would that mean to a consumer if the interest rates go higher? How would that affect them personally?
Makes debt go high, makes your interest expense go higher, makes your interest rates go higher, no matter what it is. Credit card debt, a new mortgage, trying to refinance an old mortgage, cost the government more money. Borrowing costs and go up, it's bottom line.
Right. And you can see, isn't it interesting that MasterCard, Visa, Amex, What is Amex? Why AMX? Have I screwed up? What is Amex, please?
AXP.
AXP, yeah.
Thank you. Those look good.
AMEX.
A bunch of good-looking charts out there in the marketplace. But higher interest rates help a bunch of people in this market and their banks and the credit cards, but it hurts. It hurts a bunch of people. Who does it hurt? It hurts you, the consumer at home. What's the consumer ETF? What's the way? And it's really skewed because it's all Amazon. What is that? It just left my head.
Consumer XLY. Discretionary ETF? Yeah.
Yeah. What? I'm sorry? XLY.
XLY.
That's it. That's close to all-time highs, but where is it at? It's close to the third ATR. XLY. Consumer discretionary stocks, indices, metals, bonds, they don't give away to the laws of probabilities. They don't like, you can say, well, Tim, look over here at this chart last August, and we just went up. And they keep it all back. Right? And so where are you at? Like, look at, we can just tick this off together. So when you're coming here and you're saying, well, where are we at consumer discretionary wise? Third ATR, pull back. There's the second ATR, got a big pullback. Third ATR, pull back. You're in that zone of the third ATR. I think you really want to watch the TNX right here, and the dollar's going to play into all this as well. But if the TNX actually rebounds a little bit, that's going to squeeze consumers when inflation is already squeezing them, right? Or the perception of inflation, because you know what broke, right? These last couple of weeks. Look at that. That's lumber. See, you can talk that lumber's broken. You can say that copper has broken. You give me another
lumber got taken to the woodshed.
Nice.
Good one, Don. There you go, Don.
Cut
offs and koozies, really? Portfolio manager Don Vandenborg, right there with the gold.
Yeah, piece. Seriously. Tip your service. Oh, my camera is falling. Here we go. So gold has broken. The metals have broken. Where'd you guys go?
Tim's camera is broken.
All right. Tim's camera just fell off like the commodity charts.
I think we might have lost him.
You know what's not broken though? My love for Celsius energy drinks. This is Grape Rush.
We are not paid by Celsius for this podcast.
Not sponsored by Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we will be.
Don is a
newcomer.
There he is. Tim's back on. I'm telling you, he's in North Korea.
This show's been tough, man. But all these things have been broken. But the problem is, are the producers going to give you the price break? The only commodities that really haven't broken are right here. And where they hit you the most. Look at crude oil.
Net gas crude
Look at RBOB. These are their gas futures, gasoline futures. Biggest travel coming up here until we get to the holidays in the winter, in the fall and the winter. Look at NG, Nat Gas, screaming higher.
Can you pull PEG?
Sure.
Huh.
So,
okay. I was just curious.
So the things that cost the most to consumers, the everyday taxes on petroleum-based things like gasoline, they haven't broken. You think your builder or your contractor is going to give you a break on lumber? You think Home Depot is going to give you a break? You think Lowe's is going to lower their prices? If they're getting 5 times more than they were getting a year ago for a 2x4, if their commodity prices go down, and they can still get 5 times more. The newer price has been established, and that's going to go right to their bottom line. And that makes them happy as a company. I think the new pricing is here, and I think it's going to get exacerbated. Break out the bear, Don. I think it's going to get exacerbated.
Break out the bear, Don.
If TNX goes higher and debt starts to get squeezed just a little bit, it's something to watch. Starting now, I believe, because you've fallen the support. Now, where do we go from here? Danny, take us home, man.
Folks, listen, have a very safe July 4th weekend. Don't drink and drive. Be safe. Have fun, but be safe. And we'll talk to you next week on Your Money.